Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, am I pleased to be here today. You're listening to Waking Up in America. We're a radio magazine that's been around until it'll be 20 years next year now. How about that? So come and join us, beat that old fly on the wall, and catch some of the most conversations that you have just, like, blow your mind. For instance, we have world champion Mary Louise Zeller here, who's at 62 or 63, just took a gold in nationals in form over 18, and as far as, let's see, what was the other one? Form and sparring, I think, for over 50. Just a remarkable person, and I spent the weekend with her family. We've got Jamie Barrett, who if you don't have her book, you're going to run out and probably just have to buy it after this, because this program is really about supreme clarity in things. I came back from Salt Lake feeling that life would clear up majorly for me and for the rest of this planet, and I'm seeing the changes already start to take place. We've also got Jamie, as I said, Jamie Barrett today. We've also got J.J. Virgin, who's a leading nutritionist and has been doing those hot segments. Last week she was doing one on fiber. I thought we were going to do fiber again, but I guess the universe has cleared us, and we'll go on to the next subject. It was bones. Was it bones, J.J.?
No, today we're going to talk about throwing away your scale.
There you go, throwing away
Yippee.
The scale.
Uh-huh.
There you go. And I'm just very pleased that all of this is happening and that Mary Louise and J.J. are here today, and Jamie. And you're going to be hearing from J.J. later in the hour. Mary Louise and I are going to, we'll have a little story to tell you, and we're going to do that real quick before we get to you, Jamie, just so you don't think we've left you out here. It's been a really dynamic weekend, as I mentioned. I was learning how to do charitable trust and arbitrages with our doctor for money, Debbie Ringchop, and we'll talk more about her later. And doing that is a pretty amazing thing here. And Jamie Barrett has to do with the best in feng shui and the best in, we'll discover more about what that is. And Mary Louise has to do with the absolute best in achievement. And she started at a late age in her life. And J.J., gosh, I don't know what entirely to say about J.J. There's such a tremendous precision and clarity, and she speaks in a way that you can learn. Our own Cherie Ross, she's here on the program as well today, and Cherie Ross is, she is as J.J. is to the body, Cherie Ross is to the use of the oils and that relationship in the body. We have Lisa Molson, and Lisa Molson is about family matters, and you can toss any challenge on the planet at Lisa, and then it turns out to be something that she goes through and gets past and turns it into something brilliant. Debbie Ringchop will be talking more about her later. She's actually in Washington right now. And Georgia Chesky is just an outstanding human being who's bringing to us the distinctions in leadership. And he's a man who's a problem solver, and he takes a very close look at his own life, and he finds out how to handle situations that were, quotes, unhandleable before. So that's our fabulous radio team. And Mary Louise, I'm wearing your clothes. I think I probably should acknowledge Mary Louise first in this grand conversation, because I'm sitting here dressed in Mary Louise's shoes, and better believe I know I'm wearing the shoes of a taekwondo champion, and a Nike suit, and I just got it this morning, Mary Louise. I'm very slow sometimes. It says, you know, it's got the Nike symbol on it, right?
Right. So
what
you
is
look
the
like
Nike symbol?
An athlete.
What? Yeah, but what does that symbol stand for?
The Nike swoosh?
Yeah. What's their trademark phrase?
Just do it.
You bet. So I get given the clothes and the shoes of a champion, right? And I get sent home from Salt Lake with all this information on charitable trust, and I come home to this outstanding group of human beings here, and each one of them has taken their life and turned it into something that really sparkles and is really brilliant. And I know that I got new esteem in your eyes, Mary Louise.
That's right. You guys have to know, I was so impressed. I took her on this little hike here in Sundance. I live in one of the most beautiful spots on Earth, and there's this 12,000-foot mountain with waterfalls cascading down the face of it. And so I was going to take her on this nice little easy hike to the foot of the falls. Beautiful.
That's what she
hike.
Said.
That's what I said. And what happened, now you've got to understand that Valerie had a hip replacement a year ago, so she has this titanium hip. A little bit of a handicap there, but, you know, I was taking on this little easy hike. Well, we get to this log going across a raging torrent, you know, all the snow melt, and she says, oh, I'm never going to get across that log. And I thought, okay, you know, when there was snow here, we went straight up the canyon. We'll just go cross country a little bit.
She forgot there was 6 feet of snow on the stuff that we were climbing over on this particular day.
I know, and it was amazing. I was, like, out in front blazing the trail, breaking branches of some of the heaviest undergrowth I've ever been through, and climbing over tree trunks, and Valerie's right behind me. And we get to where it's like, you just can't go. We needed a machete. And I thought, well, look at this log falling across this raging torrent of a...
We did it. We did it, didn't we?
Yeah, and
we did it.
Shimmied across the log. If we'd fallen in, I would have had to get a helicopter to go.
I was all worried about my cell phone, ruining my cell phone that had pictures in it.
So anyways, we shimmied across this log and got to the other side, beat our way through some more underbrush and got back to the path and had this nice leisurely little walk up to the foot of the waterfall and, you know, got back and she was all concerned about poison oak. Did you get it?
No, I didn't. We actually did something about this. This is something that's good for you guys out there to know. If you ever get exposed anywhere to poison oak, you go, and that's another story. We can't tell all the story. We'd use up all the airtime, Mary Louise.
Yeah.
But we actually went on a search for Fell's naphtha. So if you ever get into poison oak, most pharmacists don't know about it, and you wipe yourself down with Fell's naphtha and a shower afterwards, even though it says harsh soap and all that stuff, you'll never get the poison oak.
Yeah, it's better than
eradicate
poison oak. Here's where you find it. You go to your grocery store and go to the laundry detergent aisle. And that's where we found it. We went to all the pharmacies, the camping stores, the hiking stores, and we can find it. But that's where we found it. And it's F, like Frank, E-L-S, separate word, naphtha, N, like Nancy, A-P-T-H-A. And it's a buck, and it works.
It's a buck, it works, and nobody knows about it, but you could know about it now, because that's part of our big secret. I'm going to actually lure Mary Louise back onto the show again and again.
Good.
And again,
she doesn't
know that yet, what I have in store for her. Because after that march, we are bonded.
Yes,
we are so bonded.
And it was such a better story than just a little nice walk.
And that's what we said. We stood on the trail and we went, well, let's see, what story do we want to come home with? That we got too tired and we didn't want to go to the mountain? Or would we like to come to the home with the story, my God, you know, we went through all the stuff, we figured out how to get there, we got to the mountain, and you know, we did it, and we came back, and it was a really beautiful view. Gee, what story should we pick, Mary Louise?
Right.
And you said, and we did.
The adventure every time.
Yeah.
You have no idea what you can do. That's the moral of that story.
And how old are you, cutie?
62.
Yeah, and when did you win the Nationals?
October.
What? Huh?
63 in October.
And she just won 18 and over in forms.
Yeah, U.S. Open, I took double gold, and go to Nationals again this year in October.
And by the way, I love your shoes.
Yeah, they got American flag on them.
They do.
Those shoes been to some tournaments. Those shoes have been around the world.
Yeah, this lady dressed me up and sent me out, and I'm really appreciating Utah a lot. It's a very attractive state. With that, I actually want to bring up our guest, and maybe, you know, Mary Louise, if you could stick around. Jamie, maybe you could be telling Mary Louise about feng shui, because you and I were discussing, like, how people could use it in their life. I mean, this is a person that's got a lot of natural feng shui already.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. We spoke about, I don't know, a year ago or so, and we had a great conversation, so I'm glad to be back with you. But I was thinking about you wearing Mary Louise's shoes. And,
yeah.
You know, every object that we have that we own has an energy to it. And, though, you know, you said you love her shoes, but you love that you're wearing her shoes.
It's true.
Because her shoes have her energy and have the success energy and the motivation and, you know, the get-go of who she is in there. So when you put those on, you're actually putting on the energy of who she is.
Whoa.
You know? So you're stepping into her shoes literally and figuratively and energetically. And if we think about, even if you just put her shoes, you know, by the doorstep every day, let's say, You know, you know what she stands for, and
yes,
you know what she does. That is good feng shui.
Because so that would be symbolism, right?
That's the symbolism.
That would be like, would that be like Carl Jung?
Exactly. Well, in feng shui, you know, the way that I, you know, my book is called Feng Shui Your Life, because I believe it's not just about the things that you put in your environment, but, you know, how you live your life and the way that you bring positive energy into your thoughts, into your actions, into your behaviors. And so from a feng shui standpoint, it's about how energy moves in your body, in your space, and in your life, but also the symbolism that you put around yourself so that you are moving forward towards your dreams and goals and the things that you love. You know, there are many things that we have in our space that we don't like. And so we want to make sure to surround ourselves with things that we love, with photos of people that love us and support us. And, you know, have
yes,
that around us so that we can move forward in our lives in the best way possible.
Jamie, I got to tell you, I am sitting in my own little room. My house is being worked on, and there's like lots of plaster dust and stuff, but I have my room closed up. And I'm sitting here with my family smiling at me and animated cartoons and autographs from people that I've met and scripts from plays. And you know what? I love this room.
Yep. There's many, many people who do not, you know, have not been purposeful in placing things around them that make them happy. You know, I can't tell you how many homes I go into when I consult, and they have pictures, you know, on the mantle or on the piano of people they hate.
Really?
Yeah, you know, not hate, but let's say the mother-in-law, the sister-in-law, people that, you know, drive them crazy, that have not supported them in their lives, and they just keep them up because they feel they should. You know, that the whole should, what I should have up, what I should keep, the inherited items. You are the master of your domain, and you're the master of your life, and you need to create an environment that, you know, really supports you. And if people aren't supporting you, then you don't want their things in your space, because everything has an energy to it.
You know, it's really, really interesting what you're saying. And, you know, anybody else, you know, JJ, if you want to join in, or Cherie or Lisa or George, you know, what you're talking about here is the symbolism, but I think most people would think, if you ask them about feng shui, they would think it was more about furniture.
Well, there's a, you know, there's a huge part of it that is about furniture. I have an article out in this month's Body and Soul, actually June's Body and Soul magazine, and it's called A Simpler Space. And, you know, we have five problems and how to fix them. And, you know, it's about furniture placement and about color and about plants and about artwork. And those are all definitely part of the feng shui equation. But it's also, for me, a holistic. You need to be holistic. You can't just stick a water fountain in your wealth corner. You know, there's many different energy centers or corners in your home that correspond to different areas of your life. There's a wealth center. And one of the things that you always want to place in your wealth center is a water fountain, because in Asian culture, water represents money. So you'll always go into Asian restaurants and you'll see fountains and you'll see aquariums, because moving water means moving money. So what I always say to my clients is that, look, you can put that fountain in your wealth center, but if you sit on your behind like a couch potato and don't make, you know, strides to do what it is you need to do in your life, then, you know, it's not magic necessarily.
Oh, got it. You know what? I think in the beginning I thought it was.
I mean, you know what? This is what I have to say. So I'll say it's not magic, and then there are times I feel like, wow, it is magic. It's weird, you know? I think that if we are purposeful and intentional about what we place around us and also what we're doing in our lives, that magical things can absolutely happen.
You know what you're talking? Let me just send people over to your website, Jamie.
Sure. You want to?
Oh, I've got you right here. All right. Let me do you. You take a little rest there.
Okay.
So Jamie spells your name JAYMEBARRETT, and go to jamiebarrett.com and get a look at who's actually talking to you. This is an extremely beautiful woman, okay? And then when you look at just the use of color and the tulips and such on her webpage, and you see the cover of her book, you understand that's the kind of thing you think somebody else would do, like somebody that was really had a lot of money or was in a movie. You know what I mean, Jamie? It's like, this is what we can all do if we can all express our ultimate style.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the first, I think in the intro of my book, I say you can start it with something as simple as, you know, putting a new colored pillow on your, you know, a couple new pillows on your bed. I mean, when I'm trying to energize somebody's love life and I look into their drab bedroom with the dull sheets that have been around forever, you know, literally just putting some pomegranate or cranberry pillows and a throw and a sexy white rug, and all of a sudden those textures and those colors will start to put you in a different mood.
Hey, Val?
Yeah.
Can I interject with this?
Absolutely.
For a second,
Jamie,
I'm loving what I'm hearing.
I want to introduce you to JJ Version. This is Jamie Barrett.
Hey, Jamie, this is great stuff. One of the things as a nutritionist, I teach people to set up for success. So that's what I'm hearing you talking about here is you set yourself up for success, you act proactive, that's going to help you start taking those other steps. You know, it's like if you're in a dingy place, it's hard to, you know, get out of your depression. Clean up your environment and then the sun, let the sun in, and then it's easier to start making those steps.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the key to feng shui, is that our environment affects us on a daily basis. And we know the environments that are, you know, successful for us to work in and other ones that aren't, and successful for us to love in and play in. And, you know, each environment that we go into gives us these environmental cues. You know, if you go into an arcade, your cue is to go play the game.
Oh, right.
You know, if you go into a restaurant, your cue is to eat. So you have to think about what is successful for you. You know, people that are having weight issues from a feng shui standpoint, when you walk in your front door, the first thing that you see really sets the tone for how you're going to feel in your space and what you might do. So if you walk in and the first thing that you see is the kitchen or the fridge or a dining table, you might be reminded to eat. In fact, it reminds me of a story of this woman that I consulted with, who really wanted to lose weight, get into shape, and, you know, attract the right man into her life. And I went into her house. She said, "Can you help me?" I said, "Well, you know, we'll see. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what your house is sort of whispering to you." And the moment I walked in the door, right behind her, I mean, I knocked on the door, she opened the door, right behind her was a big dining table. I mean, it's the first thing that you see. And above the dining table was a huge picture of three fat grazing cows.
Wow.
Don't get any better than that, does
three
it?
Three fat cows eating with her every day. How are you going to lose weight? So from an energetic standpoint, I said to her, you know, what's up with the cows? And she said, "Well, I come from the Midwest, and we had a ranch, and we had cows." And I said, "Well, let me ask you this. How was your weight back on the ranch?" You know, she goes, "Well, I've always had a problem." I said, "Well, then let's move forward. If you want something that reminds you of the ranch, you'll get a small little picture of a nice little ranch house with no cows." And instead, if you were thinking of your ideal man and the person that you really want to bring in, and you were getting married to this person, where would you go on your honeymoon? Said, "Paris. Oh, I would love to go to Paris." So I said, "Okay, we're moving the dining table, we're taking the picture of the fat cows down, and we're going to put two pictures of Paris." So the minute you walk in, that's your goal, is that,
that
you
is
want
great.
To have this image of that's what you want, that's your goal. And so you want to get skinny, and you want, or not skinny, but you want to get healthy, and so it's all of that. It's, your space is going to affect how you feel. I mean, just when people go to spas, you know, they go to spas to lose weight. JJ, I'm thinking of you and like a nutritionist, and they want to, you know, get on a new food program. But when they come back to their same fridge and their same pantry with all the stuff that is not, you know, helping them lose weight. You got to change it. So that's sort of how I think. You need to change your space in order to change your life. Set it up for success.
So do we have George or Cherie here? Do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, this is George.
Hey, George.
We enter our house through the garage, so we park in the garage, and then we're coming through the laundry room, and that's our entrance every day into the house.
Yeah.
What could we do to change that particular path?
Well, first of all, let me ask you, how is your garage organized?
It has stacks of stuff in it.
Right. So how long have those stacks of stuff been there?
Since I moved out of my office to a home office,
which was
4 years ago.
Okay, so you've been having stacks of stuff in your garage for 4 years, and every time you see that, whether you're conscious of it or not, your energy is depleted because you think, I still have to get to that, I need to organize it, or I should get an outside storage, or whatever all of those things that you think when you see that. And is that not true?
That's very accurate.
Okay, so every time you come home from your busy day, that's what you're going to see. That's the energy that you get. And then you go into your laundry room, and I don't know if your aunt's laundry room is clean or always has laundry in it. What does it look like?
It has, well, that's where we keep all of the cold weather clothes.
Yeah.
But we live in Texas, so they're only used about 2 months of the year.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is that you're walking into and you're leaving every day out of a place that's disorganized and also is not greeting you or like blessing you as you leave with energy. So anybody who has a garage that they go in and out of, I say you absolutely have to organize it. You have to make it look beautiful. You can paint it. You can do whatever you need to do to make it not feel like you still have so much to do. Your home is a place that you want to rejuvenate and you want to, you know, rest. And when you come home every day and you see all of these unfinished projects, those are all unfinished projects. And anytime we look at unfinished projects, whether it be something that needs to be fixed or something that needs to be taken care of, it depletes our energy one by one. So I would say definitely organize your garage. I would decorate it. You know, put posters up right when you walk in, like before you get into your laundry room.
Uh-huh.
Have a picture or a poster or something or a saying that is welcoming you into the house.
Well, it is interesting because the picture that we have there happens to be a collage of clowns.
Do you like clowns?
For me, it's that memory of being a young kid going to the circus and having fun. So there is a positive connection for me.
But you were a little bit pausing. Is there anything else that has to do with clowns?
Yes, our son is scared of them, but he doesn't. But he doesn't live here anymore.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay, but see, I could hear that because you know you have to really look at your symbolism and say, you know, you could say I love clowns and clowns make me feel childlike, but then there's still that. But my son doesn't like clowns and he's scared of them.
Uh huh.
So it's not 100% positive.
Yeah, and we could certainly choose 100% positive.
Right, and that's what I say. You should love every single thing in your home. You should look at everything and say, I love that, that inspires me, that makes me happy, that gives me comfort, whatever it does, so that you are purposeful. You're not just bringing pictures from the dorm room to the first marriage to the second marriage. You know, it's like, why do I still have that picture?
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so Jamie, good stuff. You know, I really think that this is important, and especially when you fit it in. All these pieces fit so well together. I think people should go to your website at jamiebarrett.com, and they can actually buy the book from there, huh?
You can buy the book, and the easier way even to get to the website is 123energy.com.
123energy.com?
Energy, and if you're interested in reading an article that I wrote this month, it's in the new, you know, Martha Stewart Body and Soul magazine. It's called A Simpler Space. And, yeah, you can call me, say hello, email me.
How do we get a hold of you, Jamie?
Not call me. I take that back. And I'll call you.
Okay, good. Very good.
You can email me at jamie@jamiebarrett.com.
And that's two R's and two T's, guys.
Two R's.
Valerie.
Lisa Molson wants to be introduced.
Yes, I do.
She does. She wants to meet Jamie Barrett. So here it's happening, Jamie. This is Lisa Molson of Family Matters.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Jamie. Val, can I just use my time up to talk to Jamie?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Great. Jamie, I deal with family matters, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, I'm sitting here. Every one of us are overweight in my house. I'm complaining about little unfinished projects in my house, and I'm also looking at the fact that I think our overweight has to do with that we don't. Well, I want to do more things to interact with one another instead of just everything seems to be centered around eating.
Well,
and that's our social thing, you know, and I think that that's why we're overweight.
Right. Well, what is your living room? Is your living room a place that you spend time, or is it mostly your dining room and kitchen?
Dining room and kitchen.
Dining room and kitchen. So what could you put in your living room? Do you guys like to play car? What are the ages of the people in your household?
I have a 16-year-old, a 11-year-old, and a 6-month grandson.
Uh-huh. So there's a lot of people in your house.
Yes.
there's a lot of different energies moving around. But, you know, maybe it's something that you could be purposeful about and conscious about and say, you know what, we all really want to get healthy, and we want to create an environment that is, you know, less focused on food and more on interaction and communication and play. And so perhaps, you know, when you find yourself congregating in the kitchen, you can literally and, you know, purposefully saying, let's go in the living room, you know what I mean? And let's, you know, talk about something else. Maybe you need to bring some other kinds of activities into the living room. I don't know if you play cards or Scrabble or, you know, or it's just about, you know, having healthier things in your kitchen, too. I mean, really cleaning out the pantry and going, what is it that, you know, we need to do to change these habits that we all have? And also, I don't know, where do you enter into your house?
The front door, but it's really a cramped spot. This house was bought from somebody else, and so it's a two-level. And the first thing I walk in, is there's all of these shoes just kind of piled on top of one another. It's the first thing you walk in, and drives me crazy.
Well, so when now are you going to change that?
I know. It's like I actually would prefer to level the house myself. You know, so when I become a multi-millionaire and I can level the house. So that's that kind of conversation. So what can you do in the meantime?
Right, as I'm saying, you can't be like, when I. This is like you're living in this space right now, so you need to create it in a way that is going to be beneficial for everyone involved. So first and foremost, you absolutely need to clear the doorway. In feng shui, you want your front door to open clearly without any obstructions. You want energy of nature and the energy of the universe literally to come in and help you. And if you basically have to, you know, climb over all the shoes to even get in the door, you're already having obstructions and blocks. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense because it's the first thing that irritates me as soon as I walk in the door.
I mean, that's the same thing with the garage or the laundry room. If the moment you walk in you're already irritated, your energy level is already becoming lower, which makes you more apt to eat. When our energy is low or we get annoyed or we get irritated, what do? We go for, you know, we go for comfort. Let me go get something to eat. This is annoying me. You know, so if you can try to literally just pick up and take away the things that you do not like in your home or change them or move them around so that you're not annoyed in every, you know, everywhere you look or not even everywhere, but here and there, your energy will increase. If
awesome.
You look at a bookshelf and you have so many unread books, you know, and so-and-so said this would be a good book, and you look at that bookshelf and you feel so exhausted just thinking, I should have read that, so-and-so said that. Your bookshelf can make you tired.
Yeah, this is way more than just arranging the furniture.
It's
even creating it, right? You know, it's like what you're doing is you're actually creating the feeling you want to live in.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's the feeling that if the house or the office that you're in is not supporting what your true and best vision for your life, then you have to change it. My book gives so many suggestions, literally from moving furniture to the psychology of why we keep clutter to how we can let go of clutter. So clutter is the number one ingredient.
That's going to be five shows all of its own,
yeah.
Jamie. I really want to thank you for being here with us today.
You're
this
welcome.
Is an incredible experience. Now, Lisa wanted to give up her time, Miss Family Matters.
Yes.
And she did that. So perhaps I'm going to check with the other editors and find out if they want to do the same thing. And if they don't, we'll then go on to the regular programming. How does that sound?
That's fine with me.
Okay. So, Mary Louise, are you still here? No, she dropped off. Okay, Cherie, do you want to do your segment or do you want to ask a feng shui question of Jamie Barrett?
I can do my segment.
Okay,
just
great.
So much, so awesome.
No, that's good. This is perfect. JJ. Do you want?
I think let's go with Jamie. I'm listening to this whole thing.
I want
with
you to
Jamie.
Do the nutrition. I want you to hook up the nutrition. You two.
That's right. I look at it. I go. This whole thing hooks up just great because my very first thing I start people with is setting up for success. I'm looking at my house as she's talking, going, well, if you walk into my house, you see the gym because my whole living room is a gym and play center.
And so, do you feel like your whole life is about work?
No, to me, working out is what I do for fun.
Right.
You know, that's my fun thing. And you know what? I have any extra books or any of that stuff I put in my office, and I close that door. So I leave that. And in our scale, which I was going to talk about scales today, like the scale where I do body fat testing, I put that in the office, and I close the door. And I think a big problem is, you know, you get those people that will weigh themselves every time they go to the bathroom.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen because they have the scale right there.
Right.
And, you know, they put all their work stuff in the kitchen so that then they want to eat all day long. So I'm just really taking this all in as a great way to set up your whole environment for success because what you surround yourself is going to dictate, you know, what you think, how you live, et cetera.
You see the gym. So what does it make you do? It makes you want to go work out, and that's something that you love to do. Now, on the other hand, if you were a person that said to me, Jamie, I feel like my work is taking over my life, you know what I'm saying? I would say to you, well, your gym is in the middle of your house. You know what I'm saying? And if you really need to not do that, let's say 15 years from now, you're like, you know what, I want to be doing outside stuff more, you know, whatever it is, it's going to dictate. So you might say, you know what, I really need to rest. And you would say, okay, I'm going to put two wonderful, cozy reading chairs because I would like to just spend more time, you know, relaxing or reading. But what you're doing right now seems a fantastic feng shui for who you are and what you're about.
And so I think in hearing this, it's like part of that consult that I hope every nutritionist and exercise physiologist would do is, you know, go into their house and see how they've got that set up and help them set it up to model what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, perhaps, you know, with someone who really needs to get moving with their body, you know, you have a basket that's right by your front door and you have, you know, a jump rope in it or 5-pound weights or, you know, whatever it is that you have that just reminds you it's not stuck away in a closet. It's like it's out, it's ready. If you want to, you know, do your weights while you're watching TV or whatever, it's there for you. It's giving you that environmental cue that says, you know, you should work out. Or
you know, it's very interesting. I teach people to do that at their office. I have them get this machine called an exerciser and have them put it at their office. But I'm sure you know about the study where they put the Hershey Kisses on the desk of the secretary,
mm-hmm.
and then they moved the Hershey Kisses six feet away, and they went from eating 10 a day to 2 a day or something. That I don't know if the number's quite right. But, I mean, it was so dramatic. I use that in my lectures to show how you can control your environment.
Absolutely.
And the cues.
Absolutely. You have to say in your environment what you want. You know, when I was writing my book, the center of your house, the actual center, if you were going to try to figure out where the center of your home is the health center of your space. And so you really want to be careful with your center because that is the health of your life and of your body and of your career or whatever. It is the health of your home. And, you know, when I was writing my book, my dining room is the health center of my home. Just so happens that's where it is, and I wrote my book on my dining room table because it was just big and I could, you know, stretch out and have all my things around me. But after a while, after it was done, I just felt this huge need to put it into my office because it wasn't the center of my life anymore, and I really needed to, you know, have some meals and, you know, entertain, and I didn't need to be concentrating on that all the time. So it's really about, I think the first and foremost thing is to know what you want, to have your intention of what you want.
It's perfect. One of our little symbols is in Washington doing a book fair, Jamie, and she's Debbie Ringchop, and she's the doctor of money.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that I did the charitable arbitrage thing with yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks at money in a very evolved way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could, for her segment, I'm so missing that Debbie is missing this because I will have to make this happen again because she would be so appreciative of the distinctions that you're bringing to things and what JJ was pointing to too. Now, what kind of distinctions could you bring to money, from this point of view?
Money is one of the biggest forms of energy. I mean, feng shui is about energy and it's about flow and it's about getting your life to flow and your space to flow and for you to be, you know, connected in that way, and money is a huge form of energy. It's about flow, and you know, a lot of people want to have good feng shui so that they have prosperity energy coming into their lives. And all of these things that we want, whether we want to, you know, lose weight or we want to be more connected, I mean, in every way we want abundance. We want an abundance of love. We want an abundance of, you know, of career success and of money. And so keeping the flow is very important. And so, you know, I always say if you want more money in your life, clear your clutter.
clean your karma?
Clear your clutter. Clutter.
Oh, clutter.
Because, you know, so many people have, it's, you know, their finances are just in a wreck, and they're literally, they can't find their stock options on their desk. They can't find, if you can't even find your portfolio in the midst of your clutter, you're not going to be making more money. So I think it has a lot to do with your organization and getting clear. You know, you were just doing estate planning, and, you know, that's setting an intention for what you want for your money. And it's like that's what we're trying to do. We're setting an intention for our life, and money's a big part of it.
You're creating $10 million gifts without it costing them a cent.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know it's a good one. I want to introduce you to this conversation, and we'll have Doug Andrew on the show. I mean, I was sitting there looking at this. I didn't understand family banks or anything. I mean, they're creating family banks, Jamie. And
I love it.
all kinds of stuff. And then they're teaching the children about how to give, and they're doing, maybe you know the word for it, JJ, it's like when you do a fast check or something where it pays. They're setting up, they're
endowment.
Endowment? Yeah, they're setting up checks to pay, and they're creating endowments, and then they're paying monthly checks to them. And it's all coming out of nothing. They totally create this to give to charitable organizations, and everybody wins in it. It's just remarkable. I can't conceptualize, I can't put into 2 minutes what that course was, but I'm sure Debbie will be able to articulate it. She's extremely sharp with this stuff, and she's actually going to be writing a book with Doug Andrew, and you're going to be very impressed with him. His book is named Misfortune, and it's literally about what you miss, and there are concepts and ideas in there that allow you to create. You have to build some kind of collateral, and isn't that true of everything? So I wanted to, Sheree, I wanted to know if you wanted to ask a question of Jamie.
Absolutely. What have you noticed about people, or maybe some ideas or helpful support for people who have a chronic situation going in their life, whether it is about chronic financial problems or chronic health or chronic pain, or they chronically get in the wrong relationships where it's a, you know, it's a pattern in their life? Any ideas for that?
Well, I think that you can see a lot of people's patterns in their space. So you can, like this woman who had, you know, these cows in her living room. I mean, she had been having a chronic problem of, you know, a weight problem. And the idea is to really look around your space and say, you know, what is helping, what is this, you know, it's growing this problem. It's not stopping this problem. So you really have to be purposeful and literally look around and say, what is giving this fuel instead of stopping this. You have to know what is going on, and you know. I teach this Barnes and Noble class online. It's called Feng Shui for Your Life, and it's an online class. And this month, I think over 1,100 people are in this class. It's a free class for anyone who, you know, wants to sign up. And it's amazing to. I think people think they're just going to take this class and move furniture around, but the insights and the aha moments that come out of really looking at. Why has my life been going on this way? And you know, what have I learned from my parents? And what have I taken on them? And how can I see it manifested in my space? I think you need to do some, you know, some soul searching. And really, the Chinese say if you just move 20 things in your home, you're going to see things in a different light. So someone that's in a chronic, having the same problems over and over, I mean, I would just say mix it up a little bit. Literally, move some pictures around. You know, you don't have to get new stuff, but just change it up a bit so that you're not responding to the same stimulus in your house over and over again. Many times you don't even see what you have around you because you've just gotten so used to it over time. So
this is great stuff.
Change it up, I would say that.
Jamie, at this point, I'm going to have to say I stretched it as far as I could, and my ears are just like registering as fast as I can. I hope I remember this all. It's great. But if I don't remember it all, I could go to your book, Feng Shui Your Life.
You could. There's fantastic pictures and, you know, a lot of inner feng shui and outer feng shui and beautiful interior design. So,
and I could go to jamiebarrett.com, which is J-A-Y-M-E. Barrett.com, and I thank you very much. And if you want to stick around and there's a little more time or something, we'll see what we can do. But right now,
I have to jump off. Thank you so much. Thanks for the great question.
Great.
Have a great day.
So there's Sheree Ross. How about that? Miss Essentially Yours. I'm wondering what you'll be speaking about today.
Well, today we are going to be speaking about some very fun things for the outdoors, as well as going to compliment Jamie a little bit on some things that have actually been tested and proven with regarding feng shui and the essential oils. So one of the things is for the outdoors. There's a couple oils that right now are imperative that you, if you're an outdoorsy person, it's a really, really good idea to have these. One is basil, and the reason why is because basil is one of the most powerful natural antihistamines. So eating basil alone, that won't do it, like in spaghetti sauce or pasta or anything like that, or on your pizza, your tomato basil pizza, that's not going to do it. It's actually the oil, because the essential oil literally pulls more of the antihistamine compounds out of the plant in a concentrated form. So
how to use basil. For example, if you have like poison oak or poison ivy, you can just rub it directly on as quickly as you can. Even if it, you run into it earlier in the day and you don't get to it till that night, so be it. It literally will disappear in a matter of moments. You can, the itch and the sting will stop immediately. It's also one of the best things for spider bites, and it'll stop a brown recluse spider bite as well. So bee stings, anything like that, basil. Say you're an outdoor person and you have, your nose starts running, your sinuses start swelling up, your eyes get real itchy, and you start to have some allergy responses. Again, I would do basil, and I'd probably complement it with some peppermint oil. And the basil does not cause problems with the sun, so you can put it out on when you're outside running around, and it doesn't smell bad at all. It smells very, very light and delicate, and so it won't be offensive to those around you. So basil, by the way, additionally, it's an antispasmodic. So if you're out there and you're hiking, like, say, Dr. Valerie did with Mary Louise, and they were hiking, and say Dr. Valerie wasn't used to that level of vigorous activity, say she hadn't been working out or doing her exercises, what you could do is rub basil on, and basil would completely stop any muscle spasming and muscle cramping. So those are just some fun things that you can do with basil. In addition, you can cook with it as well. Now, the other oil that's helpful is a blend, and that's purification. Any type of cuts or scrapes, any type of, again, poison ivy, poison oak, bee sting, mosquito bite, it helps to ward off insects. And if you put purification oil on your pets or yourself, if you have a tick, you drop one drop on it, will pull its head right out. You can literally see it. It's the most amazing thing. And so purification oil is another one that I highly recommend for summer. It also is very excellent against
sun. You put the drop on the whole tick, or how do you do it?
Yeah, you just put one drop of purification oil right on the tick, even if the head is embedded, and it will literally pull its head right out.
That's amazing. Beat cigarette butts.
Let me tell you, I have a video of this, of you can watch it happening. An actual video and close.
I can't wait
to
add that to my collection, Cherie, honestly.
It's just fun. So that's a little bit for the summer. What can you do for the summer? Now, the other thing that I'm going to recommend is let's go into supporting the abundance and the feng shui. When you walk into a building from the door in the main part of the building, everyone who doesn't know feng shui, but it's called a bagua, and it's how it's separated, in the rear left corner, is called, or a room even for that matter, is called your abundance corner, or your abundance area. And we tried an experiment in a number of buildings here in the Twin Cities area. And what we tried, and I even did it in my own when I had my spas a few years ago, I tried this in one spa but not in the other two. And we didn't do anything different other than in the one spa, in the abundance area, we put a diffuser in, and we started to diffuse abundance oil, which is the same frequency of abundance, which has like cinnamon in it and many other frankincense, myrrh, many other oils that were considered to carry the frequency of abundance. I can honestly tell you that after 3 weeks of running the abundance in the diffuser, in the abundance corner, we had such an influx of clients that I had to stop all advertising and promoting for that business. And the other ones, there were no change. So we kept it up and kept it up. And after a few months, I believe it was roughly 8 weeks, 2 months, we had to stop doing the abundance because I could not hire enough employees to handle all the clients. So
you were doing abundance oil in the abundance corner.
Uh-huh.
How did you know what the abundance corner was?
It's
a feng shui, right?
Yeah, through feng shui, the feng shui body.
So can you tell our listeners just quickly how they would identify that? Do you know?
Yeah, I just mentioned it. It's when you walk into the main, into your building, and the main part, so if you have a little L when you walk in, it wouldn't be the little part.
Okay, but like George's garage.
Yeah, so when George walks in, that's not his front door. George, you have a front door? I think George has a front door.
Yes, we do.
So if George walks in the front door, the rear left corner, if he's facing his house, the rear left corner, that is the feng shui area in the bagua.
And it doesn't matter what direction you're coming from.
The rear left corner in our house happens to be our master bedroom.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, if George decides to increase his, whatever his intention is, okay, now, this may get a little risque, but if it's in the bedroom...
I know, it's good, isn't it?
...upon his oil, it's a bedroom, his intimate life with his wonderful wife may have picked up a few notches, shall we say. So,
well, we are empty nesters.
There you go.
Thank God, huh?
Uh-huh. And so, anyways, you set your intention, and really, it is the most powerful thing when you combine these ancient traditions of using these powerful medicinal essential oils, not the little fragrance ones that you go buy in a health food store that are mostly perfume and very toxic, but the other ones, the pure ones, the ones that are distilled at the highest level to really maintain the pure frequency and the intentionality.
I want an oil from you, okay?
Yeah.
And here's the oil, because
yeah.
I was thinking about it when I was thinking of George, you know?
Yeah.
And you were making the comment about the sexuality, and he was saying, well, we're empty nesters now.
Yeah.
I actually kind of remembered forgetting how to be intimate.
Yes.
During the period that I was bringing up children. I mean, it's not that I never was intimate, but not like now that they're alone.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is there an oil that reminds you that you're intimate?
Sensation.
Sensation?
Oh, absolutely. That's what it's designed for. It is jasmine, ylang ylang, and rosewood. And that combination is an outstanding, not only sensory equation and formula, and I'm going to use this word loosely, okay? So I'm just kind of doing a little tongue-in-cheek, but I'm going to use the word love potion, okay?
Oh, my.
But also, when you look at the frequency, it is a powerful mathematical equation in dealing with creating the environment of increased and enhanced intimacy. And you can take it sexually, you can take it via communication, and you can even take it to increased self-love and increased appreciation for self. Because what it does is it literally increases that core confidence.
Wow.
And that feeling of trust within oneself. And for a lot of people, like in the tantric traditions, it increases the spiritual efficacy of the connection between the body, the soul, and spirit. It increases that awareness of that connection.
And Cherie, if somebody were interested in getting sensation oil, how might they do that?
Well, you can call us at toll-free 866-RADIO-99 or wakingupinamerica.com, I believe it is. Or the other thing you can do is contact me. And I'll give you my phone number and my email, and that's 763-545-7347. Or my website is www.young-living.net. So there you go, Dr. Valerie.
Oh, thank you very much, Cherie. And for those of you who've been having some trouble getting on our website, we have a backup name for our website, which is heavenincorporatedallspelledout.com. We believe we've got the problem fixed now, so you can go to wakingupinamerica.com. But what you want to know is that right behind Waking Up in America, or the website you can always count on, is Heaven Incorporated, in case for some reason the codes get screwed up again. Probably because the Da Vinci Code is coming out today. That's probably why our codes got messed up. But thanks to Sean and Pete, everything's humming again at the website. And, you know, I was thinking, George, I was imagining your garage, and I was imagining your front door, and I was imagining, excuse me, what would inspire you. And I started to think, well, what would inspire you? I'm going to take my Olympic torch from downstairs, and I'm going to put it so that when I come in my front door, I see my Olympic torch. And I'm going to do something for the garage, too. I think I'm going to put my love poster down in the garage. So I was wondering, as a true leader, what could you put, what would be a symbol to you that would be your truest and highest and most fabulous form of leadership and success? You there? Hello? Are we on the call? Cherie, are you there? Hello?
Yes, dear, I'm here.
You there?
Yes.
Good. Something happened. I wonder what happened to George.
I don't know.
Must be that true leadership's blowing him out. JJ, besides putting the gym in your living room, what's the thing you want most in your life? I think she thinks she did her segment early. Well, this is an interesting show, Cherie, because you know what that leaves for the last few minutes?
Yes.
That leaves you and me,
yes,
which isn't too shabby a situation. Do we still have Lisa? Well, I tell you, this feng shui thing that's going on, what would be a thing? Okay, let me ask you some oil questions that will be feng shui-based, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm thinking in terms of a complementary thing. For instance, in George, it would be the it would be something for leadership. In my case, it would be moving my Olympic torch and putting a picture of some, maybe even a picture of a very healthy body.
Right.
Which I have.
Yes.
Actually, I do have a picture of an extraordinarily healthy body. I could put that someplace really visible.
Yes.
Now, to help me make those transitions, what would be the best oils? In the case of being the Olympic torchbearer, in George's case, I'm not sure who his person that he would most admire in leadership or his symbol. What would be oils that could assist us in making those transitions so that we don't waver?
Oh, very, very excellent question, Valerie.
I am back on the line. The technical gremlins got me.
I heard them sucking you down the tubes.
Well, I recovered.
Okay, here's the question that we were asking for you, okay? We were talking about reaching our true potential, George. And we were talking about, you know, I didn't know what your symbol of leadership was. And Cherie was just about to tell us what kind of an oil might help somebody shift into true leadership.
Well, go ahead. Answer the oil question, and I've got a symbol.
Well, why don't you give us the symbol first?
Well, I believe in mountains. Mountains are majestic. Mountains are also a symbol of the journey that we make, and when we reach the peak of a mountain, we're able to see more and bigger. So I think that there's something with that icon that really resonates with me.
Oh, great. Now, with that, what would you say?
So for me, what I would say is there's three oils that I would play with. One is Believe, and the reason why I would use Believe oil, and it is a blend of, again, rosewood, of frankincense, and of Idaho balsam fir. And this blend was specifically created to change our beliefs about ourselves and about our life and our world that no longer serve us. And it has been tested in prisons with dramatic changes.
Really?
In behaviors. Yes, this simple Believe oil. And you can inhale it. You don't even have to wear it. You can just put it in a diffuser and inhale it either in your office or in your home or while you're sleeping.
So for difficult children, not just prisoners in prison.
No. Teenagers. It's one of the best oils I recommend for teenagers or people who have confidence issues.
Okay, let me ask you a quickie. Could we actually put confidence oil, like, somehow in the washer?
Believe oil? Absolutely.
Or Believe oil, rather.
Yes, and I would put it in the rinse cycle. So it goes in there close.
George, what would happen if we did this?
But you could take a bath in it. You could put it in a shower head that you know, you could put essential oils in, and you could shower in it. You could put it in
the
bath.
No, wait, slow down. How do you get essential oils in a shower head?
Oh, yeah. Well, Young Living, believe it or not, has an essential oil shower head.
Really?
You put some Epsom salts or sea salt in, and then you sprinkle essential oils in it and screw it onto your shower head, yeah.
Well, there you go, George. What do you think about all this?
But my favorite is the bath and shower gel.
Yes, George. I've got to give George his time. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Hey, George.
Hey, Mr. Rucheski. You have any true leadership left, or are you back off the line again?
No, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I'm just fascinated by this.
Isn't it?
Realizing that part of leadership is seeing something that isn't there. And
wow, that gave me chills, George.
And taking the action steps to make it occur. And we were having a conversation at one of our clients this morning, and we were talking about the frustrations that the client had been running into about a change that they were trying to make within the organization. And I was just asking the question. I said, what does it look like when we achieve the outcome? And the client started to describe it. And I said, have you shared that description with anybody? And they said, no. And I said, then we need to capture that description because that's your attraction. You need to talk about what happens when that occurs so that we then can take the steps, create the actions, and gain the support and influence people and move in that direction because over time, better things will happen as a result. But if you're not clear about the outcome, then you start looking at the resources you have, which are always limited, and saying, well, we just can't do it. We can't afford it. We don't have the time. We don't have the people, whatever it happens to be. But when we talk about the outcome, then we can start talking about, now, how do we move in that direction? And as we move, we attract the resources, the time, the commitment, the energy to be able to move forward.
Well, that's good.
George, you know, George, I'm going to throw something at you. One of my wonderful mentors, he was actually a pastor that I had when I was in my 20s, and he taught business, spiritual business classes. And what he said was, he goes, the common saying is, I'll believe it when I see it. But he said, in reality, the truth of this statement is, you will see it when you believe it.
Perfect.
And that's a great way of saying it. By the way, I actually have my Believe oil with me.
You know what? Jim Marshall sniffs it all the time. Cherie,
yes.
He sniffs Believe oil.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for my segment today on true leadership. And we certainly encourage folks to email any of us, just our first name, at wakingupinamerica.com. And for those of you who like to talk, call our toll-free number, 1-866.
Radio 99.
Now, see, that's how team works. You can't
thank
forget
you,
anything. Good job, you guys. I mean, this is such an outstanding show. JJ, I wish you were still here because I really wanted to find out how to shed weight. And hopefully we'll get you back next week to talk more about this shedding weight things, because it's not just, you know, weight on your body. It's weight on your shoulders, emotional weight. It's perceptual weight, you know, how you deal with other people and how you take care of things. It's all kinds of things like that. There's some beautiful looking people that you really wouldn't want to spend time with because they're carrying around some different kinds of weight. So I'll ask JJ if we can have more on that next week. And I really want to thank Jamie Barrett for being here with us today, and to acknowledge Debbie Ringchop for her journeys out into the world to always get the highest thing and to be the best financial doctor that she can be for you. And Lisa Molson, who just does such an excellent job with family. And as you can tell, Cherie Ross has, she could keep giving you stuff forever and you just keep wanting more. And that's who we've got here on Waking Up in America. And we're going to be having Dr. Pat Allen on. So I think you'll like all of that. We want to thank you for joining us today. This program has been produced by Editors on Air, our radio partners, ConingCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, and as I said, thanks to everybody today, our Chief Technical Officer, Pete Laubach, and to the team at Voice America, Bent Migan for Almost Ordinary People, and just keep going, and it'll happen. You keep going, and it'll happen. You keep in the intention, and it'll happen. You keep listening to Waking Up in America, and it will all happen. Thanks so much.
This is for you, this is for all in you, poor and true, now your heart is open.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.